comes together, I'll share some things I saw. It's not not meant to be sure everyone to speak up, point things out. It's the Ha'aris, Pashat Ha'aris. There's a medrash, the beginning of the parasha, the beginning of Shmais. That very interesting medrash. I'm not coming to take a stand on, I don't think, I'm not coming to make a stand. It's something that big, much bigger people than me have spoken about. The whole topic of hitting kids or not. It's a very big topic. Revolba is very stark, and it's Zvi'o Binyan Mechinuch, not to children. He says today nobody's allowed to hit. My father is very big that you have to hit your kids. Very, very big. So I always tell my father, Revolba just asked him, this is what I've heard. I know a Yid was a Talmud Revolba, who says that he took it away from the masses, that it was a tool he felt that you can't give to the masses. There's so much anger and abuse and stress in the homes, he felt to take it away from the masses. The shadows of Hayruah Ashah, there's so many riots, yes, to hit children, to discipline children. There's definitely books that, even Revolba, I'm sure, this I assure you, I can't speak for him, but I have a book that I in my bathroom for a long time now. It's How to Talk, How to Listen So Kids Talk and Talk So Kids Listen. Very interesting book. There's some very intelligent things in the book. I read the book a few times already. Literally two, three times, over two times, and because there's some valuable things there for sure. But there's also some junk. Yeshua Levar Veloitevin, there's also junk. And the junk of the book is they're against all punishment. It's junk. Because if somebody follows that, the children are not going to be good. It's clear. And people are not going to be disciplined people. It's clear. There's a medrash, the first medrash in this week's parasha takes a stand, which seems very strong about hitting kids. Now we'll discuss exactly how do you view this medrash. But certainly I hear Revolba's position not to give it in public. Today that maybe has to be taken. I don't know what it was, but it used to be on a Friday morning to Baltimore Learning, you could tell such a medrash, you could tell such a thing about hitting too. But to announce it to the public, it could be you have to take it away from the public. I don't know. I don't know if he was talking to Israeli society. You know, Zvinyan, the Sefer, Zvinyan, Binyan, the Chinuch, the Chicharim, he knew would be circulated everywhere. And that he allowed it to be. And that Sefer is very against hitting. It's an interesting thing. The Medrash says like this. The Medrash in the Parsha, whoever wants to see it, it's very strong. The Medrash says that, it quotes the Pasuk, Chaysech Shivtai Sayne Benai. Somebody who spares the rod hates his kid. If you put away the rod, you don't like your kid. It's a pasuk in Mishlei. And one who loves him gives his kid shaycharei musar, gives his kid musar, gives his kid rebuke. So it says as follows. It says, the Medrash says, shekol meineya b'noy min amirdis. Whoever holds back from his son, mirdis means to punish him, means to rebuke him, means to hit him. Saif ba l'tar b'sirah b'sayneyu. The kid's going to end up going off the derech and you're going to hate him. Shekein matzinu b'yishmol, shehoyle gaguam al Avram, aviv, v'loy rideyu. Avram Avinu didn't punish Yishmol, the Medrash says. It's critical of Avram, that he didn't punish, he wasn't rideyu, he didn't hit him, he didn't hit Yishmol, v'yatz l'tar b'sirah, so Yishmol went off the derech. V'saneyu, and at the end Avram hated him, v'yitziru beis sayrekam. Avram had to kick him out of the house. He says that Yishmol started being over by the Zara, by Mitzachik Bay, and Vateira Sarah's Ben Hagar Mitzvahs, and she saw him do by the Zara. Miyad, she said to Avram, kick him out. And it's funny, Pashav Shan Pesukim is Vayera Dover Bene Avram. Avram Avinu didn't like the idea. The Medrash says, Vayera Dover Bene Avram, Ashi Yatzel Tar Bisra. Vayera, he was very upset that he was off the derech. Yeah, mikanat alamad shahaya Avram tafel sarben vias good. Miyan yashkem avamayki lechem mechem asmayim. He hated Yishmol because he went with Tar Bisra. That's what literally hated. It means he was very upset by going with Tar Bisra. That's what the Medrash says. Then it says, goes on to describe how bad Yishmol got. But then the next, I'll just fast forward. Vayav Yitzchak is Esav. Yitzchak loved Esav. Lufikach, therefore he went off the derech, because he didn't give him musar. He didn't hit him. The Medrash gets Yitzchak. Yitzchak, you know why Esav went off the derech? He didn't give him musar enough. Like it says, five of Eris Esav Rosh was over on that day. He's Baal Na'am Rasa. He killed somebody. V'kafr b'tchias ha'mesa, v'kafr b'ikar, u'bizes b'chayra. Toav misaviv. So it says the same thing. Then it says, Ki yoitz by David. Nobody's spared here. Then David HaMelech. Shalai yisal Avshalom b'nai. David HaMelech didn't give Yisurim. He didn't punish Avshalom. And he didn't, v'lo yideyu. So he also went off the derech, and he wanted to kill his father. V'shachim flagship. The point of all these things is they end up having very, no nachas. The kid ends up going off the derech, Rechman Litzlan. The kid, and it goes on, to, it goes more. Not done yet. Yeah, I wanted also, just as a derech agav, in this medrash, Yitzchak Rabinowitz asked me a shayla this week, and yesterday I meant to call him up, to tell him the first medrash, I thought it was Ashkach. He asked me this week, he was reading somewhere about the spiritual devastation of our times. And he was saying how you read about the Holocaust and he cries. He said he can't, when he reads a book on Holocaust, he can't sleep. When you think about the spiritual devastation of our time, we're not pained as much. So he said it bothers him that he's not, that we're not pained as much on the spiritual devastation. It bothers him. You tell people, I have a theory that Gog Magog is a spiritual battle. That Gog Magog is not a fear. It says in Eved, Gog Magog is the Eved's Mayor the Rabbi. The rabbi being the seichel, and the eved, the body is the eved. The body is supposed to be the servant to the mind, to the neshama. We're supposed to use it for what we wanted. I have a theory that Gog Magog, it says, Chazal say that Gog Magog is the eved rebelling against the rabbi. So it's pashit, some country that's subservient, it's going to knock off the yoke of its master. I have a theory that Gog Magog is a spiritual battle, and we're living in it. And it's killing a lot of people. Gog Magog's internet, terrible. My theory is born, I'll tell you why I have the theory, is because the Gemara has all these Amirim described that they hope they're not there at the time of Chevlei Mashiach. It's going to be too painful. So they all say, I hope we're not there. What Yisurim scared them so much? The Gdoyle, these are Tanoim Amirim. Now, clearly suffering of Klai Yisrael, Shrekloch. But they know there's Nitzchias. They know it's Mashiach's going to be afterwards. Now, I could be wrong. The Holocaust, certainly, it's Shrekloch Yisurim. But these are the greatest people who ever lived who are misspelled that they just don't want to be there. If it's a Ruchni, it makes more sense to me. I could be wrong. I saw written by... I forget his name. The Yidro wrote Darkness Before Dawn. He writes books for Munsi. He's a Chashvat Tzaddik. From Munsi. In his book, Darkness Before Dawn, he says there that anybody who knows Navi and reads Navi will tell you that Gog Magog is a spiritual battle. Shout out, no. So I feel sometimes you tell people Gog Magog is a spiritual battle, we say, shoo. Shoo. People get nervous. It's a physical, that's a spiritual issue. That's a sad thing. It's a spiritual battle. What that means is that the whole Kedusha Yisrael is going to be under threat. The whole Kedusha of Klal Yisrael is a terrible, devastating thing. So this Medrash was asking me this week about it. This Medrash says that it's worse. It's amazing. The Medrash says that it's worse. Tarbus Rab Sech Beisish Lod Mimulcham Is Gog Magog. If a person has Tarbus Rab, has people going off the derech in his home, it's worse than the battle of Gog Magog. I was clearing if that shows Gog Magog's physical or spiritual. If it's physical, it's a funny tushtal. I wasn't sure it's that way. But it says here that it's worse, people going off the derech, than the battle of Gog Magog. Goes on to explain why. Kitzad Varim, this is the Medrash. The Medrash goes on, it rips other people. Goes on and on and on about the punishments for not giving Musar. And it says, Hashem, who loves Klal Yisrael, gives us Musar. He says, the three great presents Hashem gives us all through Yisurim, Torah, Eretz Yisrael, and Chayim Abba. It goes on to this point. So now, I don't know, I'm not getting involved in the issue of hitting or not hitting. That's, leave people bigger than me. Certainly, a person shouldn't beat up his kid, shouldn't be out of anger. The person stop teaching the kids bullying techniques. The person hits the kid, it should be, the pshat is, they hit the kid, to give them musar, because you want them to be a tzaddik, because you want them to be a talmud chacham, because you want them, I'm not getting involved in. Certainly, this idea, the Medrash doesn't say hitting, it's hard to know if rideyu means hitting, it means to give musar. Certainly what's a false idea is this idea you can't punish, the relationship has to be like a friend, and everything has to be explained, is certainly false. A kid has to know something, you're doing it because tati said, because mommy said. it's clear. There has to be a certain discipline like that also, because this is what I said. A person learned to do the ratzon of a parent, of somebody older and smarter. Not everything can be explained, has to be explained. That's certainly a discipline to teach a kid. You don't, it's not everything what you want. If a kid's trained and spoiled in such a life, and it's whatever he wants, you get to see a lot. Being in a yeshiva, you get be involved in a yeshiva, being involved with Bachram, you get to learn a lot, you get to see a lot. And to me, there is a certain type of spoiledness which makes it so difficult to succeed in life, in Torah, and mitzvahs, to be a healthy kosher yid, makes it, a certain type of spoiledness makes it very difficult. I've seen it. I can point it out, and I've spoken to Bachram about it, and I see that. It doesn't mean nobody is hopeless. There's certainly a certain type of lack of discipline. A person grows up in a certain home of sport that is totally spoiled and never was taught discipline. Never taught. It's something vital to be taught discipline, and it's not just whatever you want. It's not just. That's clear. How far with the hitting and not hitting is an interesting discussion. Certainly here it seems to be talking about hitting. It says spare the, it's going on the Pasuk in Mishlei, spare the rod, Seinei Sparechaisech Shivtai Seinei Benai. But certainly to teach in the home discipline. That's what you see in this medrash, certainly. And without it, the kid chas v'shalom goes latar b'sra. That's clear. We spoke about Maseiros Sharim this week, a topic which is very relevant to this week's parasha, and was spoken about in Yeshiva. Right, Feiler at the Shevbrach mentioned it. It's something that I like speaking about. I told it to Musavad this week. Right, Per once wrote a story. He once wrote an article in the Jewish Observer about Rav Aaron Cutler, and in this article he was writing about Rav Aaron Cutler, and he said a mice about Rav Aaron Cutler with cookies. He said some story with Rav Aaron with cookies. It's a little story, not a big story, about Rav Aaron giving him cookies. They went on a trip together. And Rav Per said over this mice of Rav Aaron giving him cookies. So he gave him more of the cookies. They were on a plane. They were flying to St. Louis together. Is that where they were flying? Kitzur Advarim, So Rav Per wrote this in the Jewish Observer article. Kitzur at Shalosh Shudas, 1 year. Were you there, Rav Moshe Dan Rav Kessler, when he spoke at Shalosh Shudas? He read this letter that somebody wrote Rav Per, dripping with hate. It was like mamash, like a hate letter, anonymous letter, and it was dripping with hate. And he rips Rav Per, and he writes that don't tell us about Rav Aaron, the cookie monster. Like he a whole letter ripping Rav Per. That he writes stories about Rav Aaron. Tell us about his godless, his greatness. Don't tell us the little stories. Don't tell us the small stuff. We want to hear the big stuff about Rav Aaron. Don't tell us cookie stories. And really, I've led a very anti and negative. Just Derek Agav, he did sign anonymously. I always feel it's beautiful to give somebody mussar. To me, it's a crime to write an anonymous letter. Just time of the side thing. My father got I remember all the Rebbeim Nishi Farape once got an anonymous letter on a certain topic. To me, it's cowardly and it's mean. It's cruel. And I'll tell you why. To give muster is beautiful. That same I would have had respect. If that same guy wrote the letter where he writes against the cookie story with his name, I have respect for it. Because when you write your name, you're giving muster, you're doing it honest. It's a mitzvah to give muster in the right way, in the right time. Can you do it wrongly? Okay, the guy's done. You should do it in a nice way. But to give muster, you're helping somebody. A bacher a few weeks ago, I spoke to Rab and came to me and registered a criticism. It's the biggest help. You don't know. We know we're doing in a yeshiva. A bacher a few days ago came up to me. Tzaddik is sitting amongst us. Bacher tzaddik. He had ha'ara on the yeshiva, what something we could do different. And the tak is a tremendous thing. That's a tzidkus. It's hard sometimes to say something. It's tzidkus to say something because you help out. I can't. Nobody here is the Welt's expert. We know what to do. If somebody has a ha'ara, something could be done better, different. It's the best thing. When it's anonymous, well, I'll tell you what happens when it's anonymous. First of all, it's not the one getting the letter. Very simply, is very paranoid. They don't know who wrote it. every person have to suspect. It's not nice. See if the person's very healthy, the person can shoot off. I'm all the person getting the letter, then has to think who wrote it, who gave it, who's attacking me. They're not sure, you know, you're not sure where the attack's coming from. That's the first thing. They don't know where it's coming from. It's more, you make the person feel he doesn't know who his friends or his enemies are. But worse than that is he doesn't know who to respond to. It's unfair. Maybe he has a response. You're not giving fair is to give him a chance to respond. I despise anonymous letters. An attack. If it's not an attack, say it. If it's a compliment anonymous letter, I love those. I'm Avin Yovin. But an attack anonymous letter, you don't give him a chance to respond. I think it's cheap. If you write your name, he can call you up and say, I want to explain it. Let's have dialogue. Let me speak out my side. You're not giving it. Why? You're only getting your side. You're not giving the chance to get his side. That's what I believe. It's not fair. Somebody wrote right parallel letter. Let him respond. He doesn't know what to respond to. Right, he could have responded. So all of Klai Yisrael here. Yeah, I don't know if he wants. I'm saying in that case, maybe in general, the anonymous letter, the anonymous attack to me is cowardly. You write your name to it. If you have an attack and you want to say it's strong, write your name to it. It also, the pshat is when the guy writes anonymously, he gives him leeway to be more mean, if you write your name to it, it'll hold you more to cheshbon. You'll be more, that's the third reason. You'll push it if you put your name to it, so to be more careful what you write. Your name's not there. Trust me, the attacks get a lot sharper when your name's not there. When you have to put your name at the bottom, so put your name there. Make sure, if you have something to tell somebody, tell them. Be a man. That to me is cowardly. That's thumbing aside my attack on attacks. What do you hold, Binyamin? Yeah. My older Rebbeim Nishifaraki once got an anonymous attack. Whew. I was wondering if it was Yossi. But I got an anonymous attack. Also, it's not cowardly. To me, you give the same attack. If you're such a tough guy, you think it's wrong, and you're standing up for truth, just put your name at the bottom. Put your name there. This is me, my phone number to reach me back. This is the way I feel. My name's not there, it's cheap. But okay. Yeah. Rav Hirsch has a beautiful kasha. It's amazing. Yocheved and Miriam at Lashem Tzidkanias, the Velt Sadikim. Could you imagine, you have a Russia today who wants to get the Yidden. So he goes to Rav Shteinman and he says, please, Rav Shteinman, could you kill all the Jewish children? Chas v'shalach mar litzlan. It's a beautiful kasha. Rav Shwab asks, it sounds rather dumb. Pare says to the greatest Tzidkanias that Klai Yisrael has, these people shown, you looked at them, Pare would shake. He'd look at them, they'd look him in the face. Get nervous. These are Yocheved and Miriam. Say, could you kill all the Jewish kids, please? What's going on? It's a madness thing. Everybody has a pshat. It doesn't make. Of course, they're not going to do it. Of course, they're going to try. I mean, it's the dumbest ones to ask. If he asks his henchmen to kill him, the Seder, if you ask maybe a yid off the derech, he asks the tzaddikim of the derech, kill all the Jewish kids. Huh? Not so light, you know. Apparently, maybe they won't listen. That tzaddikim. You looked at them, you knew it. Yeah, he has a theory, interesting theory. I don't think, I wasn't taught this in elementary. His theory is, he brings diukim and the psukim and writes midrashim. They made believe they were Egyptians. He learns that's why they're called Shifra and Pua. Another Teretz Tarkasha. We're saying, Yocheved and Miriam. He learns that Kaka was a fake. Because they hit a poo-poo, she hit under that. She's different than we're saying. That's not. I don't know if it's the Pshuta. He said they were hiding out. Shifra, she was Meshafra the flood, and she was this. They presented themselves as not as Miriam and Yocheved. They made believe they were Mitzriim. So he learns when it says Lam Yaldai Savrias, Pashup Shana Pasak, the Melech Mitzrayim said Lam Yaldai Savrias. So you could tie it to Jewish midwives. He says to the Mialdois of the Evrias, of the Yidden. It means Lam Yaldais Ha Evrias means Mialdais of the Jews. Which, if I'm not mistaken, is that what they say? Eved ha-Ivri means the Eved of the Ivriim. Ha-Eved ha-Ivri means the Jewish Eved. I think Eved ha-Ivri, that's what the Nachranim say, means the Eved of the Ivri. Adapt ha-Eved Ivri. What does Eved ha-Ivri mean? That they don't speak out? I couldn't remember. Anyway, the Miyaldais ha-Ivriyais, he says, means the Miyaldais of the Ivriyais. And he learns they went under disguise. Just not Pashup Shana Pasuk, because he learns otherwise doesn't make any sense. The story doesn't make sense. So they were disguised. They made believe they were two Egyptian bums. Then it makes sense of either the Pshat Shifra and Pua. She's poo-poo. She's, you know, a lady that they may believe they were very small. That's a different way of learning the psukim. The Brisker Rav was medayik, a beautiful diak, that Pari says to them, in ben huv amiten, if it's a boy, let him live, in bas huv achaya. I'm sorry, in ben huv amiten, if it's a boy, kill them, in bas huv achaya. And if it's a girl, let them live. So the Brisker Rav was medayik, just say, if it's a boy, kill them. If it's a girl, let them live. What's up? Kill any boy. You think Pari minded? If it's a girl, let them live. And let's say they kill the girl. So anyway, he didn't want, that wasn't his plan. He heard in astrology, he heard that the Mashiach in Shal Yisrael is going to be born, that they're going to have, there's going to be a boy born who's going to save them, who's going to bring them out of Mitzrayim. He's going to be the Shliach of Hashem. He's going to be the Mashiach Hashem to bring them out of Mitzrayim. So the Seder is to say, kill more boys. But if it's a girl, let them live. Like, what's his big fear? So a few pshatim said, one pshat is, he wanted them to keep using the Mialdes. That's what Reb Chaim, my son Reb Chaim Kanievsky says, that he wanted them, in Derech Sicha, that he wanted them to keep using the midwives. So he said, please let every boy, every girl live, so they'll keep using you. I don't understand that, but if, I didn't understand that pshat, Reb Chaim Kanievsky saying. If somebody could, he says, so good, if it's a girl, don't kill it. Because if you kill everybody, they won't use you. I don't get it, but if the people, you got to think it's going to become pretty popular, like killing boys. Yeah, but at least they let the girls live. Her people aren't going to use them anyway. I'm not clear on that. So that pshat I wasn't clear on. The pshat that I feel is, the Brisker Rav himself said, is that he bedafka wanted the girls to live. The Chaim Kanievsky says, in such a medrash, that he wanted the girls to live because he wanted them to marry Egyptians. He bedafka wanted the girls to be alive. I want those girls alive. I want them to marry Egyptians. That's what the Brisker Rav himself said, that it was a gzeira, basu v'chaya, don't kill those girls. I want those girls alive, he wanted them marrying Egyptians. He wanted Klal Yisrael to mix in with Umas. That's how the Brisker Rav was medayik, Bedafka wanted the girls alive. He wanted them to be forced to marry Mitzrayim. He learns, he says a shtickle Torah, the Brisker Rav. He says that, it says that Miriam and Yecheved was zeicha to batim, bayasla and batim. They were zeicha to bate kuhuna and bate malchus. They were zeicha to the melucha, to melt the melachim should come out of them, and to bate kuhuna, bate malchus. So he says a rizik of pshat, because they were supposed to leave just the girls around. If the girls stay around and they marry Mitzrayim, what's the halacha, Rabbi Sayyid, if a girl who marries a Jew, the kid's a Jew, but the kid can't be a melech, it can't be a melech and can't be a kohen, obviously, the father's a guy. So he says it's very geschmack, they were given batei kuna and batei malchus, because his gzeir was trying to destroy, it was allowing Gidin to stay alive, because there would be girls, the kids would be Jews, but it was destroying Levi kuna, and it was destroying melucha. That's the Brisker Rav's cheshbon. It says that Amram separated from his wife because of the gzeira. Amram separated from his wife. He said there's a gzeira min hashamayim that they're killing all the kids. He's separated from his wife. So his daughter gives him mussar. Miriam gives him mussar and says, you're worse than Pari. Pari is just killing the girl, the boys, letting the girls live. You're killing boys and girls, you're not getting married. Pari is only destroying it from El Mazeh. You're destroying it from El Mazeh, and El Mabash gives him Musar. And he therefore goes ahead, he goes back to his wife. So Stam Reb Palm says that a person not thinking about the Cheshbanish of Hashem. People always, it says, Tamim Tiyam Hashem Lekecha, Al Tijus Asidus. People sometimes think too much about Hashem's Cheshbanish. They spend too much time philosophizing about things that are not smart. Let the Rebbeinu Shlom worry about these things. They spend too much time. Reb Palm speaks about this. He speaks about large families. He says there's a big tyrant in the world to control family things. People are worried you can't have as much attention. Reb Palm says, you don't worry about God's Cheshbanis. He says, our Cheshbanis is to do our mitzvahs, to do our chiyuvim, and not to pay, let Hashem worry about the Cheshbanis of the Rebbeinu Shlom Parnassa and things which are. He says in Marsha that for every kid that's born, his parnasa comes along with it. That's what he says from the Marsha, the Palm. But the Kitzur Advarim, he speaks about this inyan of letting Hashem run his world, and a lot of us make the Cheshbanis of Hashem. By Miriam, but when Miriam, when they throw Moshe Rabbeinu into the yam, so it says that Miriam hung out there to see what would happen to Moshe Rabbeinu. Now Miriam had a nevuah that Moshe Rabbeinu would be saved, that Moshe Rabbeinu would come out. She told Miriam had a nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu would come out of her father, so she gave Musa to her father, Amram, get back with Yocheved. You should live with Yocheved. The God Ladar Amish, go back to Yocheved. She gave Musar, and because she had a nevuah that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to come out. Moshe Rabbeinu was born, so she hid away. They put him in a box, threw him into the yam, and then she hid from far to see what happened. Why'd she do that? It's like the kid who goes on the street to see if the bus is coming. Why'd she stand there to see what would happen? What's pshat in that pasuk? That she's achayse stood me rachayk ledeya mayasalei to know what happened. Oh, so there's two pshat. So I heard two pshat from Nissen Kaplan, from Zevi Chang's Rabbi. From Nissen Kaplan, two pshat. One pshat he said is a zechiv Ramban that a person has to be oimen al nevuah. There's a lot of rayas in from Nachanis that a person has to be oimen al nevuah. It's a chiv. When you have a nevuah, you have to be there b'shas nevuah. Many times when the Nevi'im had a nevuah, they had to do a little maisa in order, like, to enact out the nevuah, they should be. That's called oimen al nevuasai. So it could be such a din in nevuah, you're supposed to be oimen al nevuah. Reb Nissen Kaplan wanted a taina that she knew great things were going to happen. She had nevuah, Moshe Rabbeinu was going to be saved. So he said she wanted back seats. That was his lashon. She wanted back seats on the nevuah. She wanted front seats. She knew great things are going to happen. So she wanted to see Yad Hashem. So she stayed L'deya Mayasalei to see what would happen to him. She wanted to see the Nisan. She knows he's going to save Klal Yisrael. He's thrown to the Yam. She said, I got to see this. She wanted to see Yad Hashem. It's chus to see Yad Hashem. So she waited there. He learned to see Yad Hashem. The pasuk, the yeah, we'll get to the Marsha in a second. There's a Marsha at the end of Kedusha I want to share with the Olam. But I want to, the first things, I think it's important, always you see something, there's a lot to learn from the first time the Torah speaks about anything. The first time you see, the first, in the Gemara Baba Kama says the first test in the Torah, it matters what the first test is. There's a lot you can learn from the first time the Torah speaks about something. To me, it's so significant the first time the Torah ever speaks about Moshe Rabbeinu. This is what the Torah's impression of Moshe Rabbeinu wants us to have. Moshe Rabbeinu is the first time we're told about Moshe as he's growing older. First, we're told what happened to him, but we're told about the person himself. Vayhi bayom mahem, vayigdal Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu was vayigdal. He became old. He became old. He was getting old. Vayetzei alechav, and the first thing is he went out to his brothers. He went out to his brothers. It mattered to him what's going on by Klal Yisrael. Vayar b'siv loisam, and he saw their pain. Zok Rashi, this Rashi, we should read this Rashi once a day. Nasan ein of a liboy, liyos meitzer aleim. He gave his heart, his eyes and his heart to be meitzer aleim. It's not like, it doesn't mean naturally he just was a compassionate person. Nasan, he put his eyes and his heart to be meitzer aleim. Beautiful Rashi, beautiful Chazal, that Moshe Rabbeinu made it his business to care what was happening to Klal Yisrael. Nasan ein of the libay liyos meitzer aleim. We hear an event that happened in the world, an event that happened. 150,000 people are killed. It's easy to keep going on and play. Pitch it in again. Let's go. It's easy just to go weiter, but the person has to work on himself to have a lay busser. It's easy to have a lay even. It's easy to have a stone heart. What does it do with me? What's for lunch? It's easy to have a lev even. Our avodah is to put nasan ein of a liboy liyos meitzer aleim. Doesn't say he was meitzer aleim. The beautiful Rashi that he put his eyes and his heart to be meitzer aleim. He made an effort to care to have a lev basar. He made an effort to taka care. A person taka should track what's going on. There's a tzara in the world, 150,000 people killed. A person should make an effort to have a lev basar. Zichur, a person should make an effort to have a lay busser. And certainly, here comes the Klal Yisrael, Vayar b'siv loisam. Moshe Rabbeinu, the first thing we're told about Moshe Rabbeinu, the first thing we're told is he cared for them. Nasan eino v'liba liyos meitzer aleim. He put his eyes and his heart to care for Klal Yisrael. That's going to be the Mashiach in Shal Yisrael. That's going to be the one who's zeicher that Klal Yisrael is going to be saved through him. Then Vayetzei alechav, he goes out to his brothers, Vayar b'siv loisam. He sees their pain. Nasan eino v'liba liyos meitzer aleim. Vayarish Mitzri Makish Ivri Me'echav. He saw an Ish Mitzri hitting an Ish Ivri Me'echav from his brothers. Why is it? The Pasuk didn't have to say Me'echav. We know he's related. But that's how he felt. He saw an Ish Mitzri hitting Ish Ivri Me'echav was from his brothers. After a person works to be Nos Neinav Alibo, Itaka Zoicha that he feels it. Itaka was Me'echav. Only after he works Nos Neinav Alibo Lias Meitzar Leim can Itaka feel he sees a Mitzri hitting somebody. It's Taka Me'echav. He's hitting my brother. And he kills the Mitzri. Reish Rabbeinu stands up for his brothers. It matters to him what's happening by Klal Yisrael. It's not an indifference. What does that have to do with me? Nope, I can't help it. It's no indifference. He cares. And he goes out once again on the second day for the same reason he went on the first day. To go out to his brothers. There are two Jews fighting. And he says to the Rasha, Lama Sakariyecha, why are you hitting your friend? The next thing we're told about Moshe Rabbeinu is he cares about the Ruchnis of Klal Yisrael. He cares about the Ruchnis of Klal Yisrael. It's not shout, okay, so he hits him, what does it do with me? Rasha Lama Sakariyecha, the Ruchnis of Klal Yisrael. But I want to point out the following things. You have a Rebbe who cares about the ruchnis of his Talmidim, or a parent who cares about the ruchnis of his kids. We'll talk about a Rebbe right now. Who cares about the ruchnis of Talmidim. And he gives mussar, and he says, I don't understand, the Talmidim don't listen, the students don't listen. He gives mussar to them, and he speaks to them, and they're not listening. I don't understand why they're not listening. And I believe many times the answer is because you don't care about their gashmis. Moshe Rabbeinu zeichet be Rabban Shal Yisrael, zeichet be the Mashiach Shal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabban Shal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu is Moshe Rabbeinu because the first two things were told about him. First the Gashmias, then the Ruchnias. And the reason is very simple. Because to people, naturally, the first thing they're more interested in is in Gashmias. As they shteig, they'll be more interested in Ruchnias. To be their Rebbe, to have Shaychas to them, you have to show them I care about you. And ways that you care about. Things you care are important to me. Afterwards, I'll teach you, we'll shteig in Ruchnias. But I care about your Gashmias. The first thing we're told about Moshe and Vayarbis of Loisam, he sees their Nasan Ein of Eliba Elias Meitz on their physical pain. He sees an Ish Mitzri hitting an Ish Ivri Me'echav, and he kills the guy. You're fighting with my brother. Vayoyim Hasheni Nachtem, after it's firmly established, he cares about their Gashmias. Afterwards, he says to them, Rashulam Asakri Yecha, I care about your Ruchnias also. If the person only, you have two friends, who are Gashmias like a friend, what's up? They slap fine, they're very Gashmistic of friends. They go to the mall together, they're the Gashmistic of friends. And one speaks Lashon Hara, and the other doesn't say anything. One's missing Tfilas, the other doesn't say anything. He's missing Sedarim, doesn't say anything. They're not Chaverim! It's baloney, it's Sheker B'chazav. If you're Chaverim, you don't care about his Ruchnis, you don't care about his spirituality? That's also not right. That's also not a Kesher. If there's no Yoy Masheni, if there's no Rosh Olam Asakri Yach, it's also not a Kesher. The Torah wants to tell us these two facets of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gashmias and the Ruchnias. He's zeichet to be Moshe Rabbeinu, to be the Rabban Shal Yisrael, because the first days of Yarbis of Loisam, the Gashmias, he cares for them in a way that they very much understand. And Rosh Hashanah Masakar Yecha, there's the Ruchnias to caring also. If it just remains at that, you take care of them in the Gashmias, take a sense, there's no Ruchnias to care, it's not a care either. You don't care about the Nitzchias of the person, you don't care about the eternity of the person. You don't care about his neshama, you're missing most of the person. You care about just his physical body, you're missing the guy, you don't even care about the guy. It's the gashmias with the ruchnias, these two facets. If he has these two facets, then he's zeich to be Rabban Shal Yisrael. It says the lashon of the pasuk is vayom el rasha. He says to the rasha, lama sakar yecha, there's a perplexing rashi, I want to teretz from somebody here. I'm going to read the rashi and I want somebody to say a pshat. Rashi, Moshe Rabbeinu yells at Dasav Aviram, Rasha, why are you hitting your friend? So Rashi says, Rosh Reyacha, Rasha Kamoicha, Rasha Kamoicha, Rasha like you. That's what Rashi says, Reyacha, why are you hitting your friend who's a Rasha like you? Why did he say, why did Moshe Rabbeinu say that guy's a Rasha also? Rasha Kamoicha, a Rasha like you. What's Rashi coming to say? He says to the Rasha, why are you hitting your friend? A Rasha like you, what's Rashi coming to answer? What's Rashi bothered by? Why are you hitting your friend? So Pashup Shat, Rashi's coming to answer. Pashup Shat, what's Rashi coming to answer? Why do you say a Rasha like you? I guess Rashi's bavarna, it's not your friend if you're smacking him. That's Rashi's answer, not your friend. So Rashi says, all Reyachim is, why are you hitting a fellow Russia? Well, it's Rashi's comic answer. So the Pasuk is saying, why are you hitting a fellow Russia? He's not saying your friend, you're not much good friends, but you're smacking him. So he's saying, why, he's beating him up, you're not much of a friend. He's saying, why are you hitting a fellow Russia? The Shaz on the Pasuk then. So the Pasuk, good, that's how Rashi updates the Pasuk. Why is the Pasuk saying, he said to the Russia, why are you hitting the Russia? Why are you hitting a Russia like you? Why is the Torah being madgish, reyacha, they're equal, they're both mishayim? Why is the Rashi had to say that, because not his friend. So I should say, reyacha, the Torah is pointing out that they're both mishayim. Why would the Torah say that? The Torah says, Russia, why are you hitting a guy who's a Russia like you? I want a pshat from them. I demand a pshat from them. Somebody here, tell me a pshat. I'm going to make Binyamin speak again tonight, everybody. Somebody say pshat and say Binyamin. Yes, Zevi. Binyamin, you also have a pshat? Zevi. So Zevi Tainas Pshat, I never heard this, a nice Pshat. Zevi Tainas, the Torah is saying why it's happening to the guy. Al da'atfun at yatvifun, because he saw a skull floating on the ocean. He says, because al da'atfun, you drowned somebody else, yatifun, they drowned you. And yatifun, and the one who drowned you will also be drowned.
He saved him.
The guy was dead, it was a skull.
Oh.
So he said, because you drowned somebody else, you were drowned. The world's a cycle. World's a cycle. The Mefarshim say on that medrash, Amol Yev, a guy in the yeshiva who's socially with it. Was a cool guy. Socially, has friends. He's very comfortable in the yeshiva. You have different guys in Bochum. You watch first, you guys come in. You have a guy who's socially, has good social aptitude. He's good, you know, he's good at it. And he gets in, he gets friends and everything. And then you watch a different guy who socially is very awkward and can't make friends, has a tough time. So, the perspective of the guy who's on top, this guy who has all the friends in the world, so he has a position of power, he could either help the other person who's less socially with it, invite him, he's going to bagels, invite him along, he's going to ShopRite, he's taking a trip to ShopRite, which is nothing, hebel arit, he's buying lollipops, bubkis. He brings along that social guy who's not so easy for him, and it's mitzvahs, the trip's a trip of kedush, he's going to Olam Haba, he's not going to ShopRite, he's going to Olam Haba, he's not buying lollipops, he's buying mitzvahs. Two trips. He has a choice. He can either take full advantage of his social aptitude and help others, or he could just forget the other guy. The person should remember the following thing will help out. The person should remember that life's a cycle. The Mefarshim said on that Mishnah that the one he drowns gets drowned, that life's a cycle. This guy, the cool guy, I promise, this is what happens. The cool guy is going to have a great-grandchild who's a nerd. Say it the way it is. The cool guy is going to have a great grandchild doesn't have social skills. And the guy who doesn't have social skills is going to have a great grandson. I'm saying great, it's going to be your son. I'm just saying great grandson, shouldn't be so scared. He's going to have a great grandson, the nerd who's going to be very with it. And they're both going to be sitting together in a yeshiva in Yerushalayim. And the tide's going to be turned. And very likely the way you treated that one is going to happen to the great grandchild the other way around. If you treated him properly, nobody has a monopoly on being the with it guys. No mishpach has it. There's no such thing. It doesn't last the days. If you're a with it guy, you should know you had an elta zayda who was a nerd. I don't want to say anybody you know too close. Who didn't have the social skills. And that guy who seems not to have social skills had an elta zayda who had good social skills. And he may have helped your grandfather a lot. Great-grandfather. And who knows if he gave him the chizuk that you're here today because of his great-grandfather. It's a cycle. Life's a cycle. And the way we respond in our nesayim is the way it's going to, is the way, Be'ez Hashem, the way it's going to continue, the cycle's going to continue. Yeah. The only other why I want to say more, you know, if you say something else, if they say, why, you need a reason. The only thing I would say is that bothers me is the Dagish, the Pasuk's being managed to equal Rishayim. He should have said, Russia, why are you eating him who's a Russia? Reyacha's Magish, that the Rishus is. The Reyachas Madgish that you both Rishon. This positive Russia, why are you hitting the Russia? It's not just Madgish that he's a Russia. It's Madgish that you both Rishon. The Reyachas seems to repeat, you're a Russia and he's a Russia. Why the repetition that you and he are both a Russia? So the Torah Tamima, the Netziv's nephew says Pshat. Torah Tamima says Chiddush. It's Mashma that way in Poskim, he says. Torah Tamima claims that The halach is, if the guy is a Rasha, if you hit a Rasha, you're not called a Rasha. If you hit a Rasha, you're not called a Rasha. See, he says that, but that din is only if you yourself are not a Rasha. If you yourself are a Rasha and you hit a Rasha, then you're nam. There's no iser to hit a Rasha. The iser to hit is to the yid. If you hit a Rasha, you're not nam. There's no iser. But if you yourself, if the person themselves a Rasha, hits a Rasha, then it's aser. So he said, Russia, why are you hitting somebody? Hagam was a Russia, but you're also Reyacha. You're also Russia. That's what the Torah Tanima learns. Geshmak of Pshat in the Pasuk. That you're hitting your friend who's a Russia, and you're also a Russia. So that's the Dogish of Reyacha, you're both Pshat. It means Hagam, Russia. Why are you hitting your friend who Hagam is a Russia, but you're also a Russia? That's what the Torah Tanima learns Pshat in the Pasuk. That's Reyacha. It's interesting that the Rush's perspective, they're told all about Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is a person who cares about Yanim. I have such, it seems to me so obvious, that their response to Moshe Rabbeinu is, Misamcha l'ish! Who put you in charge here? That's so the Rush's perspective of live and let live. Who made you in charge? Moshe Rabbeinu is all about caring for Yanim. Vayar b'sav loisam. Nasan einoi v'libo liyos meitzer aleihem. He's all about caring for Yanim, caring and getting involved and helping and doing. The Rush's perspective is misom chalish, live and let live. What do you have to do with us? So the Rush's perspective. Misam chalish. Exactly, it's the antithesis of a Moshe Rabbeinu. Misam chalish. Why are you getting involved? Stay away. That's so the perspective, that's taka the perspective of a Rasha, somebody the antithesis of Moshe Rabbeinu. The next thing we're told about Moshe, it's vayta, such a consistent, remember the Torah is not a history book, Moshe Rabbeinu was in Midian. Does anybody know how many years Moshe Rabbeinu was in Midian? How many years, Moshe Marnik pointed out to me, at the Torah, a lot of years go by very fast. How many years have I said Moshe Midian? 70 years. Very good. 70 years. I remember that when we were little in Alumenu, we had a whole write-up, and I remember being shocked how many years in Midian. How many years in Midian? I remember being shocked. I remember being surprised. Like, it's there so long, the Torah doesn't seem that way. It was there 70 years in Midian, Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Torah is not a history book. It picks out stuff. I'm sure in those 70 years, he did tremendous things. I'm sure he learned Torah and Velayla, and Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm sure, became a chat. I'm sure there was respect, and I'm sure that he did accomplish a lot. If we're told the little things we are told, you can use your imagination for the rest. He married one of the most chashu people. Hagam Yisrael was ostracized a little bit, but he married, he was at one point a very powerful person in Midian. He was a very, very powerful man. He was the Kayan Midian. He was a powerful man. Moshe Rabbeinu got his daughter. You can imagine Moshe Rabbeinu was a very looked up to person who accomplished a lot. The Torah is not a history book. But the little detail, the tidbit, the Torah chooses to tell us also Moshe Rabbeinu's need of caring for the other person. That's vital. That's the thread that the Torah wants to tell over and over. Because when he gets to Midian, he sees that the shepherds are chasing away the girls, Yisrael's daughters. That chase, Yisrael was ostracized because he stopped believing in Avodah Zarah, and the shepherds chased away, Vayigarshim, they chased away the daughters. Vayakom Moshe Vayashian. Moshe Rabbeinu saves them. It just matters about Yanim. It could have been from and it's girls, this, that, all the Cheshbainas, Moshe Rabbeinu saves them. That's Moshe Rabbeinu, he cares about Yanim. Vayashka Tzainim, he feeds their Tzain. Hail Moshe Rabbeinu, he feeds their Tzain. That's the message of all the years, the little tidbit. Little slice that Torah lets us have shaykhs of all the things he accomplished in Midian as he cares for Yanim. Again, it matters what goes on by Yanim and he tries to help Yanim. Another person. There's one to end with one more vert. The pasuk is. I realize it's not richos. I'll say for a minute. Tonight, maybe we'll speak as longer. It's an arichos. In Pasuk Zayin, Paragimel, Hashem says, Ra ra'isi es ani ami. I see the affliction of my nation, Asher Mitzrayim v'saka, some of them are crying out, Shemati, v'pnei noiksha, because of those that are hitting them, ki adati es machoiv, I know their pain. So it says, just Pashup Shat in the Pasuk, Hashem says, Ra ra'isi, I see es ani ami, I see the affliction of my nation, Mitzrayim. And I hear their scream that they're crying out because of the pain. What are these two things? I see their affliction and the scream. They cry. What are the two things he sees? What are the two things here? What are the two things that Hashem sees? The ani ani, the affliction of my nation, and the zakasim that they're crying out, and they noiksha. What are these two things? So I saw a gorgeous pshat, eisen of pshat in these psukim, that you have an usher, you have a guy who's a wealthy guy, and he loses his nechassim, he goes down from his nechassim, he goes totally, becomes depleted for all his wealth. So what happens when he becomes depleted of his wealth, what happens, there's a psychology of a person, he's just fighting to stay alive and to make ends meet. He forgets the bigger picture. He himself, over time, ma'at starts forgetting that he was once rich. It just becomes about today's battle and today's pain. He stops over time living the pain of where he went, what he was and where he is now. And he's just day to day fighting the very limited pain of what's happening to him. Just so Pashav Shat in the Pasuk is Hashem saw es oniyami. Hashem saw the bigger picture. The Klal Yisrael, the Am Kaddish, the Bnei Avos, the sons of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, the Dargis they used to be on, and now look at them. Hashem sees bigger picture. But he also hears the screams of Bnei Noikshav, the limited scream of Klal Yisrael got used to not being, the Klal Yisrael went from the high mountain to Am Kabira, to the deep pits. Who went from the sons of Avraham to Yaakov to this? They no longer feel that and see that. They're just crying out, they noikshav, because somebody's hitting me today. So that's the two things. Hashem sees the bigger picture, what Klal Yisrael should be, could be, and supposed to be, and will yet be. And that's what Hashem sees. And he also hears the cries of the day to day cries that they cry out. For the other thing, they long ago stopped crying out. They long ago had a certain yish, just have so much pain today, don't even have the courage, or don't even have the ability to look at the bigger picture. Those are the two things I saw shot. Rav Prom will be saying Shia, we should take a 5-minute break. But it's a kiddush time to learn Chumash. The Rav should know that this minute to learn Chumash in the yeshiva on Fridays, a lot of the Gemara should also be learned. But I think it's a Dover Gadol, in Eitz Chayim, in Eitz Yotzef, I'm sorry, this is Al Meltzer's Rashiva, Eitz Yosef. And Eitz Yosef in Yerushalayim, the minig was Fridays, they learned Chumash all day. Nobody should think it's not a new minig that we invented. In Eitz Yosef, learn Chumash, it's something that I think is valuable that we go through parashas. Now you'll hear from Rav Kron some more Chumash. I don't think this is I think it's a good zach. All week long, it's a chiddush that we don't learn so much Chumash. All Torah Shabbat Peh is based on Torah Shabbat Chsav. We try to build all Torah Shabbat Peh, we learn Gemara all day. Now, Lamaisim, we learn Gemara. Bavli's mevavla kol. It has psukim, and unfortunately, we don't spend enough time. The Chavetz Chaim's derech halimud was to learn through the psukim. Then he would learn this is how we learn every sugya. Then he would learn the safra, sifri, what the tanayim write on those psukim. Then he would get to the mishnah, then the gemara. That was the Chavetz Chaim derech halimud. So the fact that we don't stress enough chumash during the week, but we do it Fridays, it's something I think very kedai. And yashkarech, the Rambam should keep being mechazik to come. The Rambam should take a few minute break, but 11 o'clock, come back.